welcome to River of Hope this morning. We are extremely blessed to have you here with us today as we just worship Jesus through music, through spoken word, and through scripture today. I want to say thank you to the Hunt family and entourage for coming in and being willing to serve. You heard Alexa say that Kyler is going to come and share this morning. I'll get more into that before he comes up here. And then you saw the beautiful young lady playing keys. She stepped in about 15 minutes before service started. And I tell you what, that was amazing. Thank you. That was beautiful. We're definitely blessed to have such a talented group of people willing to step up and serve here. And it's amazing for a little small town Medford to be able to do such things. All glory to God for that. This morning, before we take up our offering, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this beautiful day. I thank you for this time that you can that we can just prepare our hearts and our minds to hear from you today. Lord, I thank you for your call on your people to serve you, to go to unreached places and to communities that have never heard your name. Lord, we thank you that we will get to hear that message this morning. Father God, we just thank you for the gifts and the talents and the skills that you have blessed us with. We ask, Lord, that you would take this offering and that you would receive it and bless it and multiply it for your kingdom's purpose. We thank you, Jesus. In your holy name we pray. As the offering basket is passed, I just have one, maybe two real quick announcements. This coming Sunday, August 13th, is going to be our first backyard barbecue. That's something that we pride ourselves on here at River of Hope is being able to find people within the congregation that say, hey, you know what, let's go party at my house. And that's kind of what it is. You provide the grill, we provide the meat. Is that how it works? No. Host provides the meat. I don't know. We'll figure it out. I'm not the details person. I'm just kind of up here. Everyone else makes things work around here. So next week is the first official summer backyard barbecue. I know summer's winding down, but it's been a crazy year with baby showers and all sorts of things that have kind of filled up the schedule on Sundays. I'm going to pass around a sign-up sheet. Do we have details? Yes, we do. So at next week following service at Gina Gorick's, if you know where the hospital is, which I'm pretty sure you all do, you take a right on Gibson, and she's about maybe four or five houses past that first intersection off of Gibson and Cedar. So she's just down a little bit ways from there, so it's not too far from here. I'm going to pass that around, and then I'm going to take the liberty of being the lead pastor and deciding what I want to do, and I'm gonna announce men's conference again. Next, not this coming Monday, the following Monday is the end of the first super early bird registration. So basically, if you want to save a little bit more money and get registered for that, register or let me know by this coming Monday. Travis, sitting over there, and myself are kind of working on getting this list together and getting everybody registered. That date for the event is September 23rd and 24th. That's a Friday evening and an all-day Saturday. We tend to carpool from right here Friday afternoon. Usually about 3 o'clock or so, we take off and we head towards Wapaka. And then we spend that Friday night and all day Saturday hanging out together as men, worshiping God and eating together and playing together and being overly competitive together. You name it, if we're men, we kind of do what we do. Some of the ladies are like, I know what you do, and I'm not entirely sure you do. We'll keep it that way. So please, there's a sign-up sheet on the information table right outside the foyer doors. You can put your name on there, phone number, and such, and we will make sure to get you registered. I think that's it for announcements this morning. I want to say congratulations to Alexa and Danny Reinhardt. It's awesome to see God working through people, and then uniting people. And you see his hand and his will being played out through relationships and through all of the the marriages that are represented here at River of Hope, and it's, we're honored to add another one to the list. So congratulations, you two. We definitely pray the best and blessings over both of you. You know what? I'm going to do something I don't normally do. We got a prayer request this morning. It's I'm not stalling, but I've never really done this before. I want to lift up a couple prayer requests real quick. One, I ask that you would agree with me in prayer for Danny and Alexa and their marriage. We're going to bless them. Number two, Gina, who's hosting our backyard barbecue next week, is sending one of her sons off to boot camp this morning. So he's entering the Marines, and they have asked for prayer for strength. He is a strong young man. He will do well. But I'm sure as a parent, sending your son or daughter off to any form of military has got to be just nerve-wracking. So we're going to pray for strength and for peace for Gina and her entire family, and especially Justice, who is, what a fitting name, a young man going into the Marines. His name is Justice. So we're going to pray for them, and then I will turn it over to Kyler, and we're going to get to hear from him and about God's call on his heart this morning. So let's bow our heads. If you feel compelled or you agree with me in prayer, you can lift your hands, raise your hands to God, and just agree. And we're gonna do this morning. First, I'm gonna pray for Gina and Justice. Heavenly Father, I thank you for placing such a powerful call on the young men and women serving in the military, Lord. No matter what branch, no matter what area of service you have called them to, Lord God, you've placed something special within each and every one of them. The will and desire to protect and to serve others. Lord, that is what you have called us to do as believers, is to serve those around us. And these people do it with such a passion and such a desire to do exactly what you've called us to lay down our own lives for others. Lord, we pray for peace, for justice. Lord God, we know you've given him strength. We know you've given him boldness. We know you've given him the wisdom and the drive to make this move. Father, we pray for his family, for Gina, for his father, for his brothers, for his sister. Lord, everyone that is close to him, that they would also have peace and understanding that you have put this call on his life. We ask for protection and boldness. Lord, that he would continue to live out his call, your call on his life, through his journey in the military. We thank you, Jesus, for all the men and women who serve. Father God, we lift up Danny and Alexa today. Lord, as they're just beginning their journey of marriage and that relationship together, Father God, we pray just a supernatural blessing, an anointing over them. Lord, as they both desire to serve you, to use the gifts and talents you've given them to worship you and to lead others to you, we just pray and ask that you would continue to let that anointing flow over them. Lord God, that you would give them a strength and a commitment unlike any other that you've done before. We thank you for the call on their life, Lord God. We thank you ultimately for the unity that you have brought between the two and the commitment that they have made together. We just pray a blessing over both of them today. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. As normal, when we have guest speakers, I let them introduce themselves because they know themselves a lot better than I do. And all I know, really, is this is Alexa's brother. So Kyler, if you would come up, we're going to do, I'm going to let Kyler share. However long he shares, I can't control that. So don't get too antsy, but I believe he's got a good word for us this morning. And we're going to take up an offering for Kyler after he's done sharing about the mission God has placed in his heart. So.
We haven't done any tests with this, so I don't know if it's good or not, but does it sound good? Okay, cool. Hey, guys. Like people have said, I'm Alexa's brother. I'm Kyler. And I want to tell you, I'm going to be going to China in just 2 weeks. I'm leaving, and I've been preparing all summer for this. And I'm so excited to get to be able to talk to you guys today and get view an idea of that, of what God's put in my heart, and just my goal is to cast a vision, to get this seed planted in as many people as possible, to see the need around the world. I'm just so excited to get to share with you. But before, if you really want to understand how this all worked out with me going to China and understand how crazy this all is, I have to take you back a little bit to tell you a little bit before so I can explain why it's incredible going forward. So I went to a Bible school outside of Rochester, New York. I've been going there for the past 3 years. It's called Elam Bible Institute. I don't know if you guys heard of it. It's really tiny. But I went there right out of high school. But it's crazy because when I was in high school, I wanted nothing to do with God. I was at the end of my rope. I hated God. Like, just everything in my life that went wrong, I looked up at God and, like, where were you? I completely blamed God. But even through all that, I ended up at this Bible school. It was really from because of God's mercy and a stubborn mother that I ended up there. And while I was there, I really didn't know what to do. I just knew I needed to get my life straightened out. And I found myself, we have this this weekend where we just kind of focus on God and get the foundations of what Christianity is. And I'm there on my knees and I'm just crying. I'm like, God, I feel like I couldn't trust God. I'm like, God, I don't know if I can trust you. And he's like, you just have to trust me. Like, that's what God kept putting me in. He's just like, you have to trust me. And it's not trust if you know you can trust. Like, if you absolutely know that something is firm, there's not a lot of trust that goes into that. Like, you just know. But if you, to actually have trust, you have to take a step into something that you don't know anything about. So I'm like, God, I don't know if I can trust you. And he's like, just, you have to. So I'm like, okay, God, I'm going to completely give my life to you. Whatever it is you want from me, it's better than what I can do. I just completely gave in to God. And in that moment, it was great. I didn't think too much of it after that. Then about a month later, we have this missions conference. This is, it was about a month later. And there's all these short-term trips everybody's advertising. Like, go to Haiti, go to Dominican Republic, go to all these different places. And I'm just walking around, you know, just enjoying myself. And then God puts in me, like, do you remember when you said you were going to do whatever I wanted you to do? I'm like, yeah. Like, we'll go on a short-term trip to China. I'm like, God, I'll do everything but that. I will stay in America. I love America. America's great. But God just kept putting me, like, if you said you were going to do this, you said you're going to trust me, this is what I'm calling you to do. And I struggled with that because I'm like, I don't want to, like, I don't know. I'm like, okay, God, I'm just going to take that step. And I did. Now, I went for 2 weeks in the summer of 2015 after my freshman year, and God completely changed my perspective while I was there, changed my heart while I was there, and just broke my heart for the Chinese people that I came into interaction with. And even though I wanted nothing to do with God, God completely changed my life there and put me in roles of leadership that I didn't know how to do. Like, I just kept taking a step towards God, and God just kept meeting me. So if you would have told me 4 years ago, hey, you're going to be going to China serving God for 5 months, I would have been like, that's ridiculous. I don't even want to go to church. Like, and it's just, it's so different. This contrast of God has just completely changed who I am. So I'm just trying to keep that picture in your mind, and I'm going to talk a little bit about my trip. And what I'm going to be doing in China, this is great, nobody knows anything, so it's just completely... what I'm going to be doing in China is campus evangelism in China. So what happens, I'll just kind of paint to you a day of what I'm going to be doing. So I'm going to wake up in the morning, and we're going to kind of have like with our team, we're going to have devotions, you know, time of the word, time of worship. And then around lunchtime, we're going to go on to the college campuses, and we're just going to find Chinese people who can speak English. And that's actually really easy, because we're on some of the best campuses in China. So you really kind of walk around, and Chinese people, they love Americans. So it's a ridiculously easy task to find a Chinese person to talk to. So we'll kind of go, and we'll talk to a couple of them. And once we find out if that they speak enough English, because a lot of them will be like, hey, do you speak English? Like, yes. And we find out they only know yes and a couple other words. But so we'll talk to them, figure out if their English is good enough that we can, you know, have a conversation. And we're like, hey, let's go out and have lunch. And their eyes get all wide. It's like, you want to go have lunch with me? Like, an American wants to eat lunch with me. And they're just blown away because they just love Americans. I don't know why. But so we'll go out and we'll eat lunch with them. And we'll just, you know, find out what their major is. Find out, you know, what they want to do with their lives and get to know them. And then through that, we can open up and tell them about the gospel and tell them, you know, what Jesus has done for them. And while I was over there, it was an amazing feeling
We were talking to this one guy. Well, we talked to a lot of people, but pretty much every time we talk to people, we would say, hey, do you know Jesus? Have you ever heard of Jesus? And like, no, who is he? And to have that, you can't comprehend it in your mind until you've actually experienced it. Because they told me that would happen. I'm like, oh, that's different. But to actually have it happen to you and to see like, wow, this person doesn't know anything about Christianity. They have no clue what Jesus has done for them. And it's just amazing to be that first person to tell them about Jesus. And so we'll be able to talk to them. And then we'll kind of hang out with them some more. And then later on, we'll go back to our hotel or we'll go and play basketball with some different Chinese people. And then we'll kind of do the same around dinner time. And we'll do that for the first little bit to kind of make connections. And a lot of times we won't even share the gospel with them at first. But we just want to make as many friends as possible. Like, and through that, and once we have our friends, we can witness to them and tell them about Jesus. So it's not necessarily we don't have to do it the first time we meet them, but we want to have a relationship with them. We don't want to just have converts. We want to have actual relationships so we can pour into these people's lives and tell them about Jesus. And the organization that I'm going to be doing this with is called Campus Target. And they were they were started in 2004. Back in 2004, there's these two college graduates, and they were graduating from, I don't know where they were graduating from. They were graduating, and they were going into law and business. They had promising careers in front of them. They were friends. And they were hanging out one day, eating cereal in their basement. And they're like, what would happen if we just gave 1 year of our life to God? Like, before we get into our careers, before we start all this stuff, what would happen if we just gave 1 year of our life to God? And they're like, yeah, like, that'd be cool. Like, so they're talking. They thought, what is the furthest place away that we could go? And they came to the conclusion that China is the furthest place away they can go. And it really is. It's like 14 hours. Well, from here, I think it's 13 hours. From where I'm from, it's like 14 hours. But it's the complete other side of the world. So they talked to their dad, and they knew a missionary friend there. And then, so they decided, we're going to go to China, and we're going to serve God. They had no clue what to expect. They didn't speak any Chinese. Because Chinese is impossible to learn. I've tried. It's not, it just doesn't happen. So they got around, and they spent about a year raising money, and then they got on a plane, they flew over, and they got to China, and they took a step onto the ground, and they realized, we have no clue what we're doing. So they kind of panicked attack, and like, God, just meet us here. We don't know what we can do. We don't know how to serve you here. But they just believed that taking that step forward in faith that God was going to meet them. And through that, they kind of wandered around. They found themselves on a college campus. And they're like, we don't speak any Chinese. Lord, bring us English-speaking people that we can minister to. And then a little bit later, they found out that there was this flock of people around them. And they were all trying to speak English. And they were blown away, like, this is exactly what we asked for, Lord. So they're asking, like, what is this? And the Chinese people are like, this is English Corner. This is, we all come together and we practice our English here every Saturday. And they're like, God, this is exactly what we want. So they found all these English-speaking Chinese people in one place. So it's like, it's crazy. So they met a lot of people, got contact information. And then over the next couple weeks, they just kept meeting with these people, like getting to know them, becoming friends. And they played basketball with them, went out to eat with them, just build good friendships with these people. And through that, at the end of the year, every friend that they made, every person that they were able to pour into and tell about Jesus Christ became a Christian at the end of it and decided to follow Jesus. And as, you know, evangelists or as anything in ministry, to have a 100% success rate just doesn't happen usually unless God is just right there in it. So they looked and they said, like, this field needs harvesters. We cannot just walk away from this. So they decided, instead of going into their promising careers in business and in law, they said, Lord, we want to serve you and we want to be able to send workers to this field. So they started an organization called Campus Target. And that was, they were actually founded about 11 years ago. That's why I was confused, even though it was in 2014 when they first went. And Campus Target's mission statement is to have a church planting movement on the top 100 campuses in China. So the campuses that we go to are the best campuses of all the campuses in China. When I was there in 2015, I was on the seventh best campus in all of China. So that's like Harvard or Yale and like the campuses we're going on to. So these are the smartest people in their fields. And we were talking to this guy, and we were kind of just, you know, getting to know him. And he's like, oh, what are you studying? And he's like, oh, I'm going for my master's in engineering. I'm like, I don't even have an associate's degree yet in theology. Like, I have nothing on this guy. But I could tell him about Jesus all the same. So just to realize how smart these people are, and yet they don't know about Jesus, it was just, it killed me inside. But that's why I get to go back and tell them more. And China, they're, like I said, they have a, their mission statements have a church planting movement, and they do that through evangelism and through discipleship. I'm going to walk over here for, I've been over there. So they want to have a church planting movement on the top 100 campuses in China. So with their idea of a church planting movement is to have house churches. So they have about, in an apartment, they'll get about no more than 20 people. Just that's their church. And once they hit that 20-person mark, they decide, like, oh, our church is too big. You go find a new church. And they kind of send some of their top people off to make a new church. And they have it in a different apartment. And then when that church gets too big, they send some of the... So instead of having one mega church, they have, like, a multitude of small 20-person churches so that each person can get plugged in and involved in the church and really be connected in discipleship and in the church so they can get involved. Let me get my thoughts lined up. And I need a drink. So why China is something that I've been asked a lot. Like my grandparents, they're not Christians. They're super like, you can serve God in America. You can, you know, do this Christianity thing, not in China. But why, like, they're like, why go to China? And for me, I love the idea of going to someplace that has never heard of Jesus and being the first person to tell somebody about God and the gift that he's given. And that's one of my personal things. But China is just the perfect target for so many reasons. One being that they're a closed country and like they've never heard about God before. And they may say, oh, that's awful. But because they're a closed country, they've never had the church hurt people like it has in America. Like if you say to somebody like, oh, yeah, come to church. They're like, no. Like when I was a kid, we went to church and they hurt my family and they just ruined this. Or they'll look at God and they'll say like, oh, I believed in God, but then all this stuff went wrong and I can never trust God again. But the Chinese do not have any of these broken stereotypes of the church, no broken stereotypes of God they have to work over. They have their own problems they have to work through, but they don't have this broken mindset to come that so many Americans have to work through. So in that, it's so great because when we say, hey, you know about Jesus, they don't have to work through this and their stuff. They can just like know who's Jesus, we can tell them and give them the truth instead of all like the twisted things that come from like American ideas. I can't think of the word I'm looking for. Like the American church doesn't have any brokenness that they have to work through. Chinese church, not American church. And one other reason, like I said, we're going to the top 100 campuses in China. So these are the smartest people in their field. They're going to get the best jobs in their field. And one of the areas that are taking up a lot of these Chinese students is the Middle East. The Middle East love the Chinese. We are to China like China is to the Middle East. Kind of like how I said, like the Chinese love us. Middle East loves China. They're taking them for all their jobs in all these areas. So I cannot do anything really in the Middle East. The Middle East does not like Americans right now. So I can't really impact them, but through me impacting the Chinese students while they're in college, while they're getting their degree, and if they can make a decision to follow Jesus Christ and to want to serve him, and then they go and they get a job in the Middle East, they can then touch people in the Middle East where I would have no ability to actually make a difference. So through me impacting China, China can impact the Middle East. And that's really what Campus Target wants to do. Even in China, I think of, there's this girl, her name is Darcy, and she was a Campus Target missionary in China like 6 years ago, I think. I've actually, she lives in Lyme, where I went to school at, like, so I know her. And she was in there, and she was talking to this girl named Rita. And they were talking about, and Rita was a Chinese student, and she told them about the gospel, and Rita was like, no, I don't want that. I don't want to serve God, just please don't talk to me about it anymore. So Darius was like, okay, I'll respect that. But they continued to be friends and, you know, hang out. And that was at the beginning of the year. And back then, the campus target sent people for 9 months. So they had another 4 months after January that they would stay around. And she just continued to meet with Rita and talk to her and just be friends with her. And then around Christmas time, they throw this big party, like Christmas party. And Rita was there. And at the end of it, Rita comes up to Darcy and says, like, hey, I decided to follow Jesus tonight. Like, I'm in the family now. And, you know, they got all excited. And from that point on, Darcy started discipling Rita. And while she was discipling Rita, Rita went out and told one of her Chinese friends about Jesus, and she got saved. So as Darcy is discipling Rita, Rita is then discipling her friend. And then at the end of the time they were there, Darcy is able to baptize Rita before they leave. So, and once Rita gets baptized, she turns around and baptizes her Chinese friend that she'd been discipling. And that's just the perfect picture of what it is Campus Target wants to do. Just, we want to be able to impact a Chinese student who can impact a Chinese student. And a lot of times we don't get to see that full scale, but this is just one of those rare occasions where we get to, like, get to see it, like, you know, one generation right to the next generation, just one picture. And it's so cool, because that's what my heart is, that's what Campus Target's heart is, to reach these people. And that's also with the Middle East, we want to be able to impact the Chinese, to impact the Middle East. And what Campus Target focuses on is evangelism, like I said. And we have kind of a weird way of doing evangelism. Like, I went to New York City for 6 weeks on an internship. We did inner city ministry. And I learned that I do not like New York City. I kind of hate New York City. It's awful. Don't ever go there. And while we were there, we did, like, a lot of different evangelism things where we kind of stand on the corner and give out tracts. We stand and we just kind of yell. There's a subway, and we tell people on the subway about Jesus. And that, for me, I just could not stand that because, like, there's nothing against it, but for me personally, I did not like it at all. Because I want there to be a relationship. Because if you look at Jesus in the Bible, everything he did was through relationship. Jesus could have had 1,000 disciples if he wanted to. Like, he was the Son of God. He could have done that. But instead, he chose 12 close people that he could have a personal relationship with and pour into them instead of pouring into 1,000 people. So it wasn't, what Jesus chose to do was, instead of, say, he could have done so much, but he chose to pick 12. So in our mindsets, instead of kind of, I think of it like if you have like telling people about the gospel, if you have like a machine gun, just shoot out into a crowd of people, and whoever, it hits some people and they, you know, find Jesus and other people don't. But then if they hear about Jesus, then you leave and they have nothing. Like, okay, that was great. I don't know what to do with this. But instead of, you know, machine gunning people with the gospel, that's probably not the best thing to say. instead of telling, I'm just going to leave that where it is. But instead, getting to know people and having a personal relationship like Jesus did to the disciples. And that's what we want to do, is have a personal relationship with the people we are able to tell the gospel with. So then through us being able to disciple them and getting them plugged into the church, they could know about God. Instead of just hearing God and hearing that he saved us and not knowing anything else. So that's really what we want to do. And just I have some really cool testimony from this summer, because this trip is going to, well, yeah, this trip cost me, to this whole trip to be able to go to China and live there for 5 months comes out to being about $9,000. And I was, you know, getting ready to come and getting all my things worked out to come. And they're like, yeah, you just have to raise $9,000. I'm like, yeah, I just have to get $9,000. I was still in college. I didn't even graduate yet. I was still in college when I started getting plugged into Campus Target. So I'm like, yeah, I'm a college senior, and I have to, like, these two things do not go together. A college senior and $9,000 are never together on the same page. So I'm like, okay, God, if this is what you want, you have to provide for me. And I took that step of faith towards God, And I'm like, if this is what you want, God, if this is your plan for me, then you have to meet me. And it was about, it was beginning of the summer, and I was starting to do support raising, and I hit this deadline where I was supposed to have $2,000 support raise. So, like, support raising is like you go out and you talk to people and you decide if they want to partner with you to send me to China. So I met with people, and I was supposed to have $2,000 at this deadline. It was a Wednesday. And I had about $600, a little over $600, and I hit this deadline. And I'm like, this doesn't look too good, God. And we have a support raising coach who kind of helps us out. So I met with him, and he's like, hey, you know, you missed this deadline. It's okay. Just by next Wednesday, you need to have it. So I'm like, okay, I did not raise $2,000 in a month, but now I have to raise $1,400 in a week. Like, that just cannot happen. So and because of that, I was under so much, like, stress and pressure. I'm like, God, I cannot raise this. I need you to come through. And I was praying to God. And from that Wednesday to the next Tuesday, I had gotten a check in the mail for $600. And then another person who I didn't know, I just asked, like, I sent out, like, letters to request. I sent them a letter because somebody was like, hey, you should talk to them. I sent them a letter asking for support, and they sent me a check for $100. I barely even knew them. And then there was other people, and they just kept sending money. And by that Tuesday, it was Tuesday night, and I had all but $300 raised. And I'm looking at this, and I'm like, God, that's amazing. Like, I could never have done that by myself. Yeah, I'm a little short. I'm content with it. Like, thank you, God. But and then I went, and it was Tuesday night, so the next day, I had to have that $2,000. And I'm like, that's really good, considering I couldn't do anything. But I went to go hang out with my friend, and him and his wife just came back from their honeymoon like a week ago. They just got married, and they were going into ministry where they had to live off support. So I knew that they were pretty much broke. So I wasn't even going to ask them for anything. We were just talking. I got around to the fact, like, yeah, God just brought in, like, $1,000 in a week, like, and that was just crazy. And I was talking to them, like, yeah, and I'm just $300 short on my deadline. And then they're going, like, oh, yeah, we were going to send you in a check. We already have it written out. Let me go grab the envelope. And they go, and they grab the envelope, and they take the check out of it, and they give it to me. And the check they already had written out and about to send to the mail was for $300. And I'm like, okay, God, I know this is all you. And because in a time of a month, yeah, God brought in that $600. But that was me trying to do it on my own strength. And it did not yield very well at all. But in a week of just seeking God and praying and believing that he was going to meet my needs, he brought in more than I could have ever brought in that time. And since then, it's been a ridiculously busy summer. And God has continued to meet me over and over and over again. And now I am completely pledged to go to China. So what that is, people have pledged to give me 100% of the funds that I need to go. And so I don't have 100% of the money in my account yet, but people have said, yeah, we're going to support you. So, which is amazing because for a college senior, you know, just graduating, there's no way I could have worked and earned $9,000 in, you know, the 3 months. There's no way I could go and ask somebody to give me money, and if it wasn't from God, they'd be like, no, go get a job. Like, we're not going to give you money. Like, and it's just like, there's no way where I could have actually raised that money myself, especially in the time that I had. But because I was walking in what God wanted me to do, because I was walking in that, I took a step forward towards God, and he met me there. And that's kind of, it's been my entire experience this entire summer. And that's what God's been working into me. And I just want to turn to some passages really quick that God's been putting into me that I believe, well, I think they're great. They're both two of my favorite passages. I don't know if they're on a screen, but I can read them to you. Will they be on the screen? Or somebody came up to me and asked me what verses I was going to use, so I told them so. Not that one, the other one. Deuteronomy. Yeah, there we go. Is this NIV? Cool, that's what I have on my phone. Okay, so I just want to read to you, it's Deuteronomy 31:8, and just to set up a picture of what Deuteronomy 31:8 is dealing with is, well, I lied, it's 7 and 8. Don't want to get ahead of myself. But let me paint a picture of what this is. So the Israelite people have been following Moses for the past, hasn't quite been 40 years yet, but for the past long time, the Israelite people have been following Moses as they've been wandering around in this desert. And I don't know if you guys have ever read what the Israelites, kind of who they were and everything about them, but they were officially the worst group of people to lead ever. They complained about literally everything. They got manna from the sky. Like I don't know about you, if I had manna, I'm not actually sure what manna is, but if I got food just popping up out of nowhere, I wouldn't complain too much. When they had it time and time again, and then they would complain and like, man, I'm tired of this magical food popping up. I want something else. And then they'd get meat and like, yeah, I'm not really feeling this meat either. And then the moment Moses walks away from them, it's like, okay, guys, hang on, I'll be back. I'm going to go talk to God on this mountain. They're like, you know what I think Moses meant was we need to build a golden calf and worship it while he's gone. Like, they were the worst people ever, and they could not follow instructions at all. So Moses is about to die in this picture, and he calls in Joshua, and Joshua is kind of the person that's been following Moses around, really. He's been kind of Moses's mentor or his apprentice, like he's been following around. And Moses calls in Joshua, and he's like, Joshua, I'm about to die, but I'm going to give you all of these wonderful people. You are now the leader of them. Congratulations, you get, this is your prize. And I can just imagine Joshua's face is like, please don't die, Moses. I want you to live forever and lead these people. At least until we get over to the promised land and like, just please. But Moses is like, these are your people now. You get to lead them. So I want to read this. This is what Moses says to him, because I guarantee Moses understands what Joshua's thinking. He's like, I don't want to lead these awful people. And here it is. Then Moses summoned Joshua, and he said to him, in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with these people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them, and you must divide it among as their inheritance. And right here's the Lord. Here's the verse that that really sums up all of this. In verse 8, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. So in this, Moses is like, okay, Joshua, I know this is the worst thing ever. I know these people are terrible and it's going to be hard, but the Lord is with you and he's not going to leave you. The Lord is going to guide you through this. He's going to be with you and he's going to strengthen you as you're going, and not only that, not only will he strengthen you and be with you, he's already completely paved the way for you. He's already gone ahead of you and marked out the way. So in this, Moses is telling Joshua, he's like, you need to take that step. And as Joshua takes that step, and yeah, it's kind of frightening, but God is with him in that, and he's also already made the way for him. So as he takes that step, he's walking in the path that God's already made. So he's not even making his own path. He's just following the one God's already lined out for him. So Moses is saying, this is going to be awful, but the Lord is with you and he will not forsake you. And that's kind of been my entire experience as I've gone to Elim and as I've kind of just given my life to God, where I'm like, okay, God, I know you're with me. I don't know where this 9,000 is coming from, but I'm going to take that step forward. And it's been challenging sometimes to take a step forward because I did not want to leave America. This place is great. But to take that first step forward and go for 2 weeks, I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen, but God changed my life. And even I didn't know I was going to go back for 5 months, but then God's like putting it into me and starting to work in me. I'm like, God, I don't know if I want to do this, but I'm just going to take that step forward. And so I think for me, my step forward was going to China. My step forward was to look into missions. But as not everybody is called to go to China, you know. Not everybody is meant to go off into some third world country, but God has your own step for you guys that he's calling you guys to step forward in. And he has a great plan for you ahead of you guys. And I just want to go to, can you pull up Jeremiah 11, not 10? That's a secret. Okay. And this verse is, I think, I love this verse. Yeah, that's the funny story. Lost my train of thought. Oh yeah, this verse. This is a great verse, and I think Christians love to quote this verse, and they're when, you know, and like, oh, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And that is a beautiful verse, and I love that verse. However, And it's all true. It's completely 100% true. But one of the verses that is 100 times more important than that verse, and I love even more than that verse, is verse 10. Because without verse 10, we just get this lovey-dovey message, and it makes us feel warm inside. But verse 10 is, this is what the Lord says: when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. So without that verse, the verse 11 is kind of flat, because Israel was in captivity. They were not in their own country. They were enslaved by the Babylonians. And they're like, okay, this is awful. God cannot be in this. But God's saying, this is my plan. My plan is for you to be in captivity. And not only is it my plan, it's a good plan. And he's saying, you just have to wait 70 years. So I don't know, if somebody came up to you and said, hey, I've got this great idea. You wait 70 years and then I'll give you something. I'm like, I don't think I'd wait 70 years. But God says, this is when 70 years are complete for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. And it is easy to receive something from God if we don't have to wait for it. Like think about Christmas. You know, you get all these presents. If you didn't have to wait for Christmas, you could just like, oh, I get my presents now, as soon as the first snowfaller. Like, I could go to my parents now and be like, okay, I want my Christmas presents, and they just magically appear. That'd be cool. But then we'd lose the excitement. We'd lose the drive for that gift, and we could just reach out our hands and have it. But through this process of them waiting 70 years, God was building in them a love for him. He was building in them what it took for them to be a nation and not fall apart like every other king Israel had before that. They just kind of fell apart and they were wicked. But through this, he was building them into who they needed them to be. But they would look at this and say, God, you can't be in this. We're being in captivity. But he's saying, wait, this is my plan for you to be in captivity. This is what's driving you so I can fulfill this promise to you. And so I just want to encourage all of you guys today just to take that step forward into what it is God's calling you to do. And it may seem scary. It may not make any sense. But just take that step forward and God will meet you. And it may take a while. It may not make any sense. But if you're stepping into what God has for you, it is the best place you can be. So I just want to pray for you guys in closing. Can I do that? Okay, cool. Okay, dear Lord, thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. And thank you for giving me the chance to be able to speak. What did you put on my heart today? And Lord, I just pray that everybody in here would just be able to, even me myself, would just be given the strength to take that step forward, because that first step is so hard to take sometimes. And even though it's frightening, even though we don't know what's on the other side of it, Lord, just give us the strength to take that step, knowing that you will meet us there, knowing that you will catch us on that other side, Lord. So Lord, just be with us as we go, and in your name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kyler. That was a very good message. And just to share the call on your heart is impressive, and you can tell the passion and the drive that you have. So thank you for sharing. We're going to take up an offering for Kyler. I know he said he was 100% pledged, but I don't know if you've ever pledged for something and then something came up and things fall through. So we want to make sure that we can help him to have that, the funding he needs to go and to serve and to fulfill the call that God has on his life at this time. I'm going to pray and just pray over Kyler and his trip that's coming up. Did you say it was in 2 weeks you're heading out?
Yeah, I start training on Wednesday.
Okay. All right. I'm going to close with a prayer of blessing over Kyler and their group and that trip. And we'll pass the offering basket at this time as well. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this message that Kyler has shared with us and the challenge, Lord, to step out and to walk in what you've called us to, Lord. God, we all need to hear that. And I thank you for that reminder and that challenge today. Lord, I thank you for his faithfulness and just the strength you've placed within him to follow your call and your will. Lord, we just pray a blessing over him and his team, over each and every person that is going with Campus Target over to China. We just pray that you would bless them, Lord, not only in their financial process, Lord God, in providing everything they need, as we know you will, Lord, but even in the harvest, as they go and they minister and they serve, Lord, let them be continually encouraged and just lift up their boldness and their courage and their ability to speak and communicate clearly. Lord, help the Chinese people to be open and ready and willing to hear about you, to hear and receive your gospel, Lord. We thank you, and we just pray and give you glory in advance for what you're going to do through this team. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for coming out today. And Kyler, thank you for coming and sharing. It really was a timely message. So you are dismissed. It's a little bit later than normal, but that's all right. We do that once in a while. You guys have a great day and a blessed Sunday afternoon. This is what it sounds like. This is what it looks like. This is what it feels like when the church is alive. This is what it sounds like.